Your host, Parker, Dan, and Angela, slice and dice their way through the good.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
The bad.
You brought the devil!
There's a devil inside everyone.
And the ugly movies you love.
And you can't piss on hospitality! I won't allow it!
Hold your favorite films and franchises tight, because they aren't safe. In fact, it's already too late. It's time to dissect that film.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Dissect That Film podcast, a podcast that dissects the good, the bad, and the ugly of cinema. I am your host, Brett Parker. Joining me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Dan and Angela of DNA Gaming. Actually, I should point down here, because when I do the actual edits, you're below.
We're hovering around his crotch where we're normally at.
They're over here somewhere, guys. And today, we are talking about a film that I didn't even realize is celebrating its 45th anniversary this year, and that is Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Everyone knows the glorious story of the child born in a faraway manger. Well, this isn't that story. This is Monty Python's all-new Life of Brian.
They call Brian.
He was born into the golden age of Roman rule.
Do we have any crucifixions today?
139, sir. Special celebration.
It was a time of miracles.
I was blind, and now I can see. Oh!
Friendly persuasion. And gracious invaders. But there was just one thing on everyone's mind.
Sex, 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 that's all they think about it.
Oh dear.
In those days, getting stoned wasn't against the law. It was the law. And things looked bad.
Romans.
For the people of Jerusalem.
Still a few crosses left.
Until Brian dropped in. He was a born leader.
Brothers, brothers, we should be struggling together.
We are.
A potential martyr.
What would they do to me? Oh, you'll probably get away with crucifixion.
Crucifixion?
Yeah, first offense.
And his mother's joy.
You mean telling them? They think I'm the Messiah, Mum.
The Messiah!
There's no Messiah in here. There's a mess, all right, but no Messiah.
And now, it's up to Brian to deliver a despairing nation from the throes of oppression. Tough luck, Jerusalem. This is the life of Brian. Just when you thought you were saved. It's Monty Python's Life of Brian. He wasn't the Messiah. He was a very naughty boy.
Terrific race, the Romans. Terrific.
And to talk about this crazy movie, we have a special guest, and that is friend of the podcast, Wyatt of Cinema Trip Reviews.
What is going on, everybody? It is great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. It is crazy. Before anyone else starts talking, I'm gonna talk, okay? It is crazy we got Wyatt back on the show to talk about a movie that has Terry Gilliam in it. Isn't that wild? That wasn't even planned. But here we are. All right, well.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that until I was like kind of doing some research. And I was like, holy crap, he did direct Fear and Loathing. I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, this is our kind of Easter episode for anyone who celebrates Easter.
I'm here for the eggs.
Yeah, more it was a perfect episode to record, since this episode should be out right before Easter weekend. And also, looking up things on this movie, was very controversial. Controversial. Mm-hmm. Has anyone here seen this movie before watching it before this episode?
I've seen it once, way back in the day.
Okay.
I mean, I was just like, at the time, I was just going through a lot of Monty Python, like a Monty Python phase, mm-hmm. watching all the movies, watching the TV show and whatnot. But just for some reason, I never came back to this one, as well as like, what was the other one? Meaning of Life. Mm-hmm. That's the other one I never really watched other than one time.
Yeah, for me, it was Holy Grail. That's the only Monty Python I knew. I didn't watch, was it Flying Circus, which was the show that they did?
The show, yeah.
And then I think Holy Grail was the first movie, because that was, mm-hmm. I think, 73, 74 when that came out. And if you think about it, like, there really wasn't a lot of Monty Python movies. I think there was only three or four. And mm-hmm. then they were doing a lot of shows, like live shows. And then they would is it Spamalot? That's the
Musical.
The musical that I think is based on Holy Grail, correct?
I think so. I've never seen it though.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Heard it's amazing.
Friends of the show, the Quad Pro Quo podcast, just saw it, I think, a couple weeks ago. Spamalot. So maybe I'll have to check it out. If it's somewhere close by, maybe I'll go check it out.
Yeah. But Holy Grail was just always seemed like the most memorable one to me. Like just has way more memorable scenes compared to the rest of the stuff they had.
It has that Monty Python feel. Like when you're watching Life of Brian, you get that same feel. Like you get the same like line deliveries and just like overextended jokes, which in the past, when we've talked about movies that do that, we've complained about it. Example, Ghostbusters 2016. That was a big complaint for me, was the fact that they would take jokes and they would just extend them to the point where you're just like, can we just move on? But it feels different when it comes from the Monty Python guys. Like it just continues to be funnier and funnier as it goes along, where you don't care how long this joke's been going. Because that's the whole purpose behind it. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about a little bit of the controversy behind this movie. So, of course, this is a movie about a guy who is born on the same day as Jesus. And he lives his life kind of as a somewhat normal guy in those times, but then gets mistaken as a Messiah and then pretty much dies the same way as Jesus. Let's just say Christians didn't like that. A lot of religious groups didn't like that. This movie was banned in Ireland from 1979 to 2015.
Wow. Oh my
God. From all of the countries that banned this movie, that was the longest time frame I had seen.
Jeez.
Yeah, there was a lot of things with, you know, John Cleese. John Cleese has had a lot of controversial stuff kind of hang around him over the course mm-hmm. of the last couple of decades. We won't go into too much detail of why. We'll mention the fact that I guess he wanted to do a Broadway show of Life of Brian. This was, I think, a few years ago. And I guess during a table read, they wanted to take out the whole Stan wanting to be a woman part. And John Cleese was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then it turned into this whole thing. And that's why it never happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a wild history with this movie and just with the Monty Python guys, period. Originally, it was financed by a company called EMI. And when they read the script, they backed out. And so the Pythons ended up suing them. And then none other than George Harrison of the Beatles came in and rescued it, pretty much paying for this movie to be made. And he pretty much was asked, why did you do this? And he's like, because I want to see it. because I want to see this movie, because he was a huge Monty Python fan, which I thought was hilarious. And I guess, and then Eric Idle, who is one of the Pythons, pretty much was like, this is the probably the most expensive movie ticket anyone's ever purchased, because it was like $4 million that he had spent to get this.
Yeah, finance. I saw something like he actually had to like mortgage one of his properties or something just to get most of the money, and he's like, he really wanted to see that movie. He must have been a really huge Monty Python fan.
Diehard fans.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was one of those things where when I was watching the credits in the beginning and I saw his name and I was like, George Harrison? Is this the George Harrison I'm thinking of? Yes, it was. It was him. A really funny fact. Not really, I guess, funny for some of the people involved in this situation, but I guess in 1982, there was it was called the Falklands War. I guess there was a sailors aboard the destroyer HMS Sheffield was severely damaged, and while it was sinking, the crew started singing "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life."
Oh my God, that's brilliant!
There we go.
Yep, that's hilarious and dark.
Yeah, very dark.
Yeah, so the English town of Boresmouth, so it wasn't even Ireland, so that was my mistake. They banned the movie in 1979, and then it was finally shown in 2015, which is crazy to think about.
They got over it.
Yeah, right. Someone finally
watched it, and like, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah, but then you look at London, who from 1979 to 1981, this movie played in theaters for 75 consecutive weeks.
Jeez.
At the Piccadilly Circus, I guess it was called the Plaza. I'm like, what the hell? And then I guess 5 more weeks at the Ritz in London.
Jeez.
I'm like, wow. So many different. It just shows how diverse that country is.
They love their Monty Python, I guess.
They really do. Yeah. There's a couple other things I want to mention while we go through this plot, but you guys are ready to go. Are you ready, Dan?
Yes, but I have a question.
Yeah.
Before we do the thing, the okay. chant, you know, whatever, we gotta start it. You know,
name that tune.
Well, how much money did this movie make?
Oh shit! Thank you, Dan. Thank you for reminding me.
No, because so you talked movie, about how much that was paid. I was just curious.
I just completely almost skipped over all of the normal shit that we talk about. So, Monty Python's Life of Brian was directed by Terry Jones. Who would then go, he would also go and direct the next one, Meaning of Life. He actually passed away in 2020, which is really sad. It was written by, of course, the core six Pythons, Graham Chapman, John Cleese, Terry Gilliam, Eric Idle, Terry Jones, and Michael Palin, which, of course, this movie stars all six of them, which they all together as a group played 40 different characters in this movie. Which is insane.
It's great.
The music was done by Jeffrey Burgon. I don't think I've ever heard of this guy. He did Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which I think is the original, not the
Gary Oldman one.
The Gary Oldman one that came out not too long ago. It was released August 17th, 1979 in the United States, November 8th in the UK. It was an hour and 34 minutes. It had a budget of $4 million. And according to Wikipedia, it had a box office of $20.7 million. But from what I got from another source is that it grossed $20 million in the U.S. and Canada. Okay, never mind. It was $20 million. I just don't know how to do math. So it was right. Thank you, Wikipedia, for actually being correct.
at least everybody made their money
I
back.
Thought I saw another zero, so I thought it was $200,000 or $200 million, and I was like, damn.
That's a hell of a lot of money for that time.
But to be honest, $20 million on a $40 million budget, that's pretty good payout.
Good turnaround.
I'm sure George was happy. Yeah. He's like, thank God.
I was like, oh, I can put it back into that house I had to refinance.
No shit.
Oh, shit. All right. I think that's it, guys. I think we're all caught up in the shit that Dan, thank God Dan reminded me to.
I try.
This movie also had an alternate title. It was called Brian of Nazareth.
Fair enough.
Sure.
It's just not as like, I don't know, appeasing to say, right. or see on a poster as Life of Brian.
All right. Are we ready now?
Are we ready?
No, but yes.
Do the thing.
We're never on top.
Why? This is the first time Wise gets to experience this. Unless he's
What's happening?
Before. Ready? It is time to dissect that film.
Bam.
It's never gonna sound good. It's always gonna be off. So this movie.
We need a bloodletting. Hold on.
So this movie opens to three wise men following it looks like a shooting star because that star is moving fast. I'm like, I don't think that's how stars fully work, especially the North Star, because that was what they were following
maybe
that night, right?
Maybe it's a spaspaceship.
Oh, right. Yeah. Ooh, you might be right. So they follow the star to a stable and they scare the shit out of the person that is sitting in the stable. I love this, man. It's so great because she is just like, what the fuck are you doing here? Get out of here. What? No, you're not gonna get near my baby. Get out of here. And they're like, well, we got gold.
People at 2 a.m.
She's like, oh, but ma'am, we have a gold. What is it? Gold.
Frankincense
and myrrh. And she's like, oh, no, stay. Please stay. Please look
what
at my
the hell's
baby.
Myrrh? It's a balm. No, I don't want to bite my kid.
You brought a bomb.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I thought.
It says they have the goods so they can stay. And it says, beware the bomb.
Yes.
No, it's just an ointment.
He's like, I swear there's an animal named a bomb. And I'm like, what? What the fuck are you talking? I think they're talking about Tiger's Balm.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Tiger Balm or whatever. I think
I
that's probably
when
what
that was invented.
I don't understand. Maybe it's a...
I also want to know how she knows it's what time it is.
Yeah.
Right. Fucking yeah. Creeping around in a cow shed at 2 in the morning.
But I just love how they walk outside after it's all said and done. And then you have the two people with the halos over their heads as they're like, well, that's clearly Jesus' stall. And they're like, oh shit, that's where we were supposed to be the whole time.
Come and take the gifts back.
Steal back everything. Yeah. And I love just like the Monty Python woman voice that they do too when they're playing.
Oh yeah,
which is the director of the movie?
It's got a big payoff here in just a minute. So,
is Mandy Cohen that's the mother's name?
Oh God!
And then we get kind of like a James Bond opening like credits scene.
Dude, it's wild.
I love the animation, which I think was all done by Terry Gilliam.
Yeah.
And the voice of the girl singing the song was Sonia Jones. And people thought it was a singer, Shirley Bassey, who did the opening theme song for Goldfinger.
Oh.
And so that's kind of why they hired this girl to do the song in the beginning of this movie, because she sounded so close to her and they wanted it to have that James Bond opening. This girl was only 16. The girl who did the who recorded the song. So that's pretty awesome. But yeah, awesome. I love it. It's so good. You know, just kind of like the physical humor with just the animations. Like you got the guy who's like the slab taken out and then the fucking old thing just falls on him.
Yeah. And I love how like the mediocrity that is expressed in all the lyrics. It's just trying to like make this sound interesting. And there's just nothing interesting about this guy. Right?
She's just describing a normal dude named Brian
with arms and legs and hands and feet. Like, okay.
So we are now in Judea AD 33 on a Saturday afternoon. About tea time. I was waiting for more because I was like, I'm writing all of these down. It's like, no, that's it. And who we think, I think it's Jesus, is standing on a rock giving a sermon. But we're getting it all from the back row of this thing. And it's just people just like trying to guess what he's saying. But then you just get into the two groups getting into an argument. Because you have whatever Eric Idle's character is in this scene, just calling this other dude Big Nose.
Yes,
it's like you call me Big Nose.
Say it one more time.
I'm gonna pound you.
I love the, what was it? Blessed be the cheesemakers. No, I think he means anybody involved in the dairy industry. It's up to interpretation. It's like, what the fuck is this?
He says he's gonna like sock that dude like four different times. He's like, yes. I'm finally gonna do it. And then the time he does it, his wife like steps in front of him and socks his wife. I'm like, oh my god.
No, he socks the wife of the the dude who always has the umbrella. It wasn't even his own wife. It was just the other dude's wife just comes around the corner. Just so
fucking dumb.
So Brian and his mom, of course, Brian is, you know, he's just a normal dude. And he goes home with his mom. And I love how they walk by the stand and they're selling beards. You want
to
get
Let's go to the stoning. I don't want to miss the stoning.
That's right. Yeah.
They don't allow women at the stoning.
Yeah.
So they have to buy fake beards.
Yeah, because she puts it
she
on.
She tries to sell them stones, too.
What are you doing? It's like, they don't let women at the stoning, so I got to get one. Then they walk by the vendor who's selling them. Like, he's got the trench coat. He's like, you want a beard?
He's selling the rocks and the stones too. He's like, this one's nice and flat. It throws really well.
You got the woman carrying the donkey.
Cone of gravel. Oh my god. Yeah, the donkey's like rubber. Donkey. You could see its head bouncing around.
My donkey's not feeling so good. Just what is happening? Oh man. So they get to the stoning, and John Cleese is whatever this guy is. I'm guessing just an official. And he's reading the punishment for this guy. And the reason he's getting stoned is because he keeps using the Lord's name in vain, which is Jehovah.
I think he's just using the Lord's name. I don't think it's
about
using his name.
He's just saying Jehovah. And it just and it gets to the point where you can't.
Sorry, the lady with the rubber donkey before they go.
Yeah, that's what we mentioned. We just mentioned that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It just came up on the screen. I was like, yep. There it goes again. With a little whoop.
But I love it how it's like you get the part where the stoning, like someone throws the stone early and he's like, who threw that? And they all point at him. Nah, give me that. You got to get to the back now.
I love that. It was her. It was her.
All the women trying to cover up their voice.
Are there any women out there? Yeah, no.
I love the two guards, not with the dude chained up, but the ones leaning against the wall, just watching all this shit
happen.
They're
just shaking their head because they're like, what an idiot.
And like the way he used Jehovah's name is like not even in a bad way. He's like, this meal is so good, it's fit for Jehovah or whatever. He's like, it was a compliment.
Blasphemy!
Then he hits John Cleese with the stone because he says it by accident.
Yeah, they end up killing him because he got the people that come over with the big boulder just drop it on him.
Oh,
no. Oh, then we get Brian and his mom leaving the stoning to go home, and they run into this very eccentric ex-leper.
Oh, my gosh. His movements, just like the way he's like following him and everything.
He's all skipping around and shit the whole time. Like
anything to help a former ex-leper. And they're like,
something good.
He's like, well, what do you need? What do you need help with? You're not a leper anymore. He's like, well, I didn't ask to not be a leper anymore. He just touched me and healed me.
I was a leper with a career. I didn't ask for this.
What the fuck? He's like, well, why don't you just go back and have him turn you back into a leper? Well, maybe I will.
I forget what he says about like him about Jesus too. He's like, Mr. So important or whatever. He's like, he calls him something.
He's like, he's just doing these things and no one's asking for it.
Yeah, and he ends up giving him some money at the end. He's like, this is all you can spare for me. He's like, you just can't make some people nobody happy today. He's like, Jesus said the same thing.
So they get back and there's a Roman soldier in there. Of course, everyone hates the Romans. And Brian's mom tells him, well, your dad was a Roman. And he's like, no, it can't be. And he storms off. And then he goes, the mom is like, oh, you know, sex, sex, sex. That's all they think about. And then she drops to her knees. And I went, no.
The fucking payoff, dude. So good.
Oh, damn it. Oh, so now we're at like a Colosseum of some sort or some amphitheater. And Brian is a vendor. He's just going around, passing around like wolf's nipples. And
it's which, during the children's matinee as they're cleaning up the corpses.
I just love
it. And the dude is just running away from the gladiator, just around the ring.
I think I'm going into cardiac arrest. And then falls and dies.
And the dude's so happy. He's like celebrating.
Yes! But I love how he's, you know, he goes over because he hears John Cleese's next character, who's like the leader of the. What was the group called?
Yeah, what's the organization called?
Oh, the Judean People's Front. But he's like, no, it's the People's Front of Judea.
Dude, this is my favorite joke in the whole fucking movie. Because it's when Brian walks up, he's like, are you guys the Judean People's Front? He's like, fuck off! The Judean People's Front. We're the front of the Judean people. Or whatever. He's like, we're the People's Front of Judea. And then they what's the other thing? He's like, can I join? He's like, piss off. Like, he's like, how are you getting people in? He's just trying to get this guy out of here.
So I hate the Romans too. Well, how much do you hate the Romans? It's like, a lot. He's like, all right, you're in.
You're in.
You're in.
But I love how the shit that he is selling. Like the wolf's nipples is kind of like is supposed to be because Rome was founded by Romulus and Remus, who were raised by a wolf, and like the whole famous picture of them like suckling from the wolf's teats. So that was where that came from. I can't remember the other ones, but they were
just like badger's nose or some nose of some type.
He's like,
we'll
take a thing of badger's noses, make that two
jaguar's earlobes, chaffinch brains,
wolf nipple chips.
Dromedary pretzels. Oh,
but this is also this is also where we get, I guess, into the controversial part, which is Stan, who is played by Eric Idle, who, you know, he wants to be a woman and he wants to be able to give birth. And John Cleese is just sitting there like, it's not possible. You can't do that. You don't have a womb. You can't give birth.
It's like, I want to have a baby.
And Judas just there like, you know what? Maybe we can use this and just, you know, we got to give them. Like, yes, you can. If it's an idea you have, you can achieve it. And Chuck Lee's just
we
like,
gotta let him.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like not oppress his. Even though he physically can't, they cannot oppress his right to want to have.
To want to give birth. It's listen. Take it however you want. It's a funny bit, and that's all you kind of got to go with. Just leave it.
But by the end of the movie, they're into it. Like, they're fine with it. Yeah. They call it Loretta by the end of the movie.
Which I guess the name Loretta, like the whole reason they use that name for this situation is because of a Beatles song and a verse that George Harrison sings in a Beatles song about it pretty much has to pertain to this scene about how like a man wants to be a woman. And be called Loretta or something like that, but he's a man. That's all I got.
Okay. It could be from Get Back.
What it's from. Yeah. So as Dan said, Brian wants to join the People's Front of Judea, not the Judean People's Front.
They get brought up later. Yeah. I fucking love it. Yeah. Couple times.
So there's a third group as well, because they talk up, but there's like that guy down there, and like the guy turns around and like waves
he's
at
a splitter.
Him.
He's like, splitter! And the guy just looks at him like,
yep.
What? So Brian's first task, now that he is part of this group, is to go to the castle or the palace and paint something on the wall. And this is when he gets caught by the Roman, played by John Cleese, and he gives him a lesson in Latin. Fun fact, John Cleese, I guess, was a Latin instructor. So when he is giving this lesson, it's all like how you would actually say the phrase and how you would do it. Yeah, it's so fucking good. Like the whole thing.
Get it right. Write it 100 times.
Yep. Cut your testicles off if you're not done by morning.
Cut your balls off. Okay, I'm so sorry, sir.
This is probably my favorite character John Cleese plays in this movie is that Roman guard.
Yes, because he's got to deal with such bullshit the whole time.
Like, yes.
I like how he's a hard ass sometimes. He's a hard ass sometimes, and then like other times when like someone says something to him by chance, he's like, hey, stop it. he's just like nonchalant about certain things. So fuck off.
When we get to the part where he talks to the fucking old guy who's like who they have their meetings in the house, it's so fucking good.
Yo, I love that.
So the next morning, Brian is done painting And I love how the group of Romans that come, they're like, good job. Okay, get the fuck out of here. And then another group shows up, but they don't know that he was there doing that. So they think that he just caught him doing it. He's like, run!
This guy's all over the front of the palace, a huge fucking
litter. Yeah. Everywhere.
So they get, so he comes, he goes to the where they do their meetings. And they are coming up with a plan to kidnap Pontius Pilate's wife. Which, the funny thing is, we never see her in this movie. Which is hilarious. Because it goes for a while. And they're talking about like their whole reasonings behind it. And this is where they're like, what have the Romans given us? The aqueduct? Yes. What else? The aqueduct.
The sanitation department.
Roads,
healthcare, medicine.
They're like, oh yes, oh yeah. You remember what the city looked like before, right?
It was, we could walk in the street safely at night. You remember what it used to be like before the Romans are here? It's like shitting on themselves.
I just love how it's just, there's so many reasons by the end. You're just like, why are we doing this again? But they're still so headstrong. Like, fuck the Romans. Oh god, it's so good. So they enact their plan. They go to the palace. They are underneath the... So yeah, they're in the aqueduct under the palace. And when they emerge, they carve out from the... There's like a mosaic of something going on. But they carve out where the crotch is. It's so good. And they meet another group down there that are... They have the same exact plan. They're like,
it's the Judean People's Front, is it not?
It is. It is. That's what it's
yeah.
Because they both meet up and they're just like, what are you here for? We're here to kidnap Pontius Pilate's wife. But that's why we're here. Well, we're doing it. We had this plan first. And they're just going back and forth to the point where they're just like, okay. And Brian's like, why can't we just all work together? We all have the same plan. We all have the same goals. They're like, nah, fuck that. We're going to fight. And so they literally kill each other. To the point
I like
where
how the Roman guards are just watching them from the other end of the hallway too.
And Brian's the last one, and the guards don't even have to run at him. They just walk and they capture him.
Yep.
This is probably what you meet one of my favorite characters of the movie in this next scene too.
Oh, the guy, the guy in the cell. Wall. Yeah. So
he's so lucky.
He spat in my face. Oh, the days to go by, which I got spat in the face.
He's like, I can take it down from this wall for only 20 minutes a day, and then they hang me back up. This is the first time they actually hung me on the right side up.
I wish I was getting crucified.
I've been hanging like this for 5 years. Ooh, they spit in your face. Oh, God. And this is when Brian gets a message that Pilate wants to talk to him. Oh, my God. It just gets better. This movie just gets better and better as we progress. It's great. So we meet Pontius Pilate, who, for anyone who doesn't know who that is, he was the one who ordered the crucifixion of Jesus. And boy, do they do him extra dirty in this movie. They give him a speech impediment.
Yeah.
So no one knows what the fuck he's saying. And I love that John Cleese's character, the soldier, it definitely doesn't know what he's saying because he keeps saying things. And then John Cleese would be answering a completely different question because that's what he's hearing. He's like, and Pontius Pilate's just standing there, just like, what is happening? Brian, to get himself out of the situation he's in, he states he's a Roman, you know, because he found out he is part Roman. And I forgot to mention his dad's name earlier because his mom says his dad's name was Nautius Maximus. And this is when, and they're like, and this is when Pontius Pilate's like, why are we laughing at that? I have a friend back home. His name is Biggest Dickus.
I love it.
I love John Cleese's facial expressions during all of this shit. Gold.
Biggest Dickus is possibly one of the funniest fucking names I've ever heard in my life.
And like, I love how he just like is getting up in the faces of people just to make sure they're not laughing.
So Michael Palin,
as he's trying not to laugh.
So Michael Palin, who plays Pontius Pilate, pretty much that was the goal. Like, he literally his goal was to try to make them laugh. He and when they would like take people away, they were just extras who they knew who he knew were going to laugh at the joke. And so he wanted to find people who would not laugh. So his whole thing was to just say the name as many times as he could to get people to break. Because like, I love that one guard who is just laughing so bad to the point where he's being sent away to die. But he's still laughing his ass off. But I love when he's like, you know what Biggest Dickus's wife's name is? Inconscientia Buttocks. Like, what the fuck?
He's like, that's it, I had enough.
Yes. And of course, all the guards are laughing their ass up to the point where Brian is just runs away. And this is when we get the most absurd part of this movie. So you got the guy.
Oh,
up.
My God.
So for one, you have the guy up on the top of the tower who is he's building something and he drops his hammer. And you think that's going to lead to something, but it really doesn't, because all it does is it makes him go down the stairs to the point where he runs into Brian. Brian runs to the top and then Brian just falls off the tower. And you're like, shit, what? There was nothing down there. He falls into a fucking spaceship and flies all over the universe. With these two aliens,
submarine.
It's like, what's happening?
See, like, I didn't remember this part at all from like years and years ago from first time seeing it. I got up to get a drink like during this part, and I came back and he was in the spaceship, and I was like, I told my fiance, I was like, I gotta rewind this because I need to know how we got here. I have no clue what's you going on
were,
right now.
You thought you were watching a different movie, like what the hell is that?
Did you change this? Oh, it's like these weird creatures like holding their eyeballs.
Yes.
Yes.
All real monsters.
We literally talked about this shit. Like, what the fuck is happening? Like, what is this? Like, is this our Star Wars nod? Like, what is going on?
So getting this like in space battles and stuff. Like,
oh my God. Yeah. Where was
like,
the other ship come from? Yeah. To the point, though, that it crashes back on Earth, back at the very point that Brian jumps into the ship. And he continues.
These puppets are hilarious,
oh, they're
you.
So good.
Just watching so them good. At the very end, like it's just like
right before they crash, they're
just flopping everywhere.
To be honest, though, this movie came out in 1979. The comping in this space shot, I'm like, damn, this is good. Like this is like close to Star Wars good. Like I'm like, what are we doing here? This movie cost $4 million to make. This is
there
insane.
Was no reason for it to look that good.
Another thing I like is that whole thing happens. This one dude watches him go out. I'm like, you lucky bastard. And he just looks at him and nobody ever mentions it ever again.
They don't talk about the spaceship that's crashed behind them.
The technology they may have now.
So, the Romans continue to chase him. Literally, the whole movie is them chasing Brian around. Oh, I forgot to mention before this, before the Romans start chasing him again, he falls into a bunch. There's like three guys preaching, like each preaching something different. One of them is Terry Gilliam. And Brian starts talking, and that's where they got the group, which is it's got John Cleese and Eric Idle is part of this group. And he's just like, yeah, let's just stop judging people. And they're like, well, how do we do that? Tell us more. Because this is when it all starts, where he starts getting followers. Like people start
he's just trying to repeat everything that he was hearing Jesus say earlier in the movie.
And then he's just like, he hops down and they're like, that's it? You were going to say something else. And he's like, no, I wasn't. I got to go. And then they start following him. But then he hides with a vendor played by Eric Idle. And this is when he, what does he buy?
He tries to buy the beard.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to get the beard.
He buys the beard and he throws 20 shekels or whatever the heck it's called.
He has to haggle.
And he's like, whoa. You got to haggle first. And he's like, what? I'm giving you 20. He's like, so it goes into this whole thing. The part where I love when he gets like the big guy to come and like threaten him. It's like, no, you need to haggle. And it's like, he's like, ask for 17. 17. 17!
Well, see, actually, all this happens before the sermon because he's got to get the beard and the gourd. Oh, and he doesn't get the gourd and he goes through the house and then falls.
He's like, I'll give you the gourd for free. And he's like, forget it. I'll just give you four for the gourd. He's like, it's worth way more than that.
Worth at least
give it to
10.
Me for free.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, the Romans continue to chase him. And this is where you get like the crucifixion sounds fun. It's like the best thing you've done. You're a weird guy.
Yeah.
This is when the Romans come to the where their meeting is. And the older guy comes out and they, I love the soldiers marching in. It's just like the loudest noises. It sounds like a fucking train is going into this house.
Yeah. And they don't know how to hide worth a shit. Yeah. Put his head down in the basket, like half his body.
Oh my God. The one who just has a sheet and he's just standing in the middle of the room.
The guy who's bent over in the basket with his ass hanging out. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Crucifixion doesn't sound so bad. You get to see it, have the breeze, be fresh air.
He's like, he's like, but it lasts for days. You suffer. He's like, sounds like a good time. He's like, you're a weirdo.
A weird guy.
And
like, we forgot to check one place, and everybody goes right back into the house again.
We found this spoon. Good work.
And he's on that little rickety ass balcony, like outside.
Well, he goes out there the first time and it starts to break. And then he, I love when everybody comes out again. And John Cleese's character calls him a putz, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
But it was actually dubbed because he actually says cunt. But I guess they didn't want to use that word. So they edited it around and they just dubbed over it.
That's strange.
Yeah.
Sharks of the corn? Virus shark? Cocaine shark? Sharktopus? Yeah, those are all real movies. Join me, Steve Coates, as each week I take a comedic look at the bizarre world of sharksploitation cinema on Bucket of Chum, the Shark Movie Podcast.
So yeah, this is when he falls. This is when he goes back onto the rickety thing when the soldiers come back and he falls and then the sermon thing happens and
because he gives the one guy a gourd. He's like, what do you want for it? And he's like, just take it. I don't want it. But we got to haggle.
Where
he's
is
like,
he?
No, just keep.
Oh, he's ascended. 18!
Hey, dude, yes! Fucking
great. Oh, man. So he's running away from all these people that are following him, and he finds like a hole that's got a man there who hasn't spoken in 18 years, and he finally lands on his foot. So he starts talking. He's like, what the fuck, man? I haven't talked in 18 years and you want me to help you?
He's like, can you stay shut quiet for 5 more minutes?
He's like, can you please stop talking? He's like, I haven't talked in 18 years. This is the first time I get to do it. No, I'm going to talk and talk. And so, of course, the followers find him in the hole. But then you also find out that this guy is completely naked.
The funniest part of the movie for me, man, just the way he gets up and he runs towards that bush.
And he's got
you tell him to eat my berries from my bush.
Get out of my juniper bush.
He's like, there's juniper berries in this bush. He's like, no shit. It's a juniper bush.
And it looks like he has his stuff wrapped with his beard.
Yeah, his beard is perfectly covering it, but you can kind of see his balls hanging out below.
The hair is glued to him.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
We have no food in this barren wasteland. He's like, the bush.
Oh, man, I love it, though, because they
hear my baldness.
I love that the group thinks he's, they think he's the Messiah. He's like, I'm not the Messiah. And then the crazy guy, he's like, I'm the Messiah. Fuck off. And they're like, kill the heretic.
Yeah, exactly. Kill the non-believers. Fucking love it, dude.
Oh my gosh, the blind guy that falls in the hole.
He touched me and I could see. I never touched.
You gotta. Like, I don't know. Like, you gotta turn something down because you literally start talking. I don't know, Dan. You got really loud and it just cut all of your audio.
Sorry, it was the dude that is the blind guy.
Yeah.
He's like, he touched me and I can see again. He's like, I never touched that man.
And the guy just falls in.
I'm not the Messiah. He's like, that's what a Messiah would say. He's like, all right, then I am the Messiah. He's like, we knew it. He's the Messiah.
Oh, that's so good.
It's so stupid, dude.
So Brian runs into Judith again and things get hot and heavy, even though the one thing that bothered me about this movie was the awkward just cuts. It was like, it would just like Brian gets out of the hole and like runs into Judith and they just stare at each other, and then it just like fades to black for a few seconds, and then it like cuts to him laying in bed. I'm like, I feel like our transition's gonna have been just a tad better, but whatever. But yeah, Brian
Dude
gets laid, man.
Dong.
Oh, he hangs. Oh, he's all fucking chiming that fucking bell. Ding.
That's
dong.
I was like, he didn't want to say cunt, but he's just butt ass naked in front of everybody out the window.
So I guess there was a whole thing where like when they were doing this, he's like, you don't really look Jewish. And so I guess they had to like modify his dick to make him look more Jewish.
So make him look uncircumcised.
Yeah. So I guess he actually hangs dong in front of 2,000 people. And I guess were Muslim women in like part of the group that like screeched in fear and like ran off. Like it was
it's
like, not that
thing.
Bad. Come on.
Like, damn. I mean, I mean, it's funny because Brian's mom shows up and he's got to hide the fact that Judith's in there.
Hold on.
She comes out butt naked.
Oh, my God.
There's a scene of all the worshipers, and this happens earlier. We didn't talk about it. Where they're out in front of his fucking window, and you see them all. There's a few of them holding up sticks, and they got gourds on them. But there's a few of them holding up sticks, and they got fucking sandals.
Oh, yeah, because he's running away, they grab it. He's like, a shoe.
They
no,
grab
it's not
sandals.
A shoe. It's a sandal.
They couldn't decide if it was the shoe or the gourd was more significant. So it's like subtle humor, man. It's great.
Oh, man. So, yeah, Brian's mom shows up. She's pissed. And he's, you know, Brian's trying to hide the fact Judith's there, but Judith just pops out of there like a fucking wild woman. She's fucking full on bush, man. She's got she's got the, you know, the hair covering the tatties. And she's like fucking animalistic, man. She's like down there. She's ready to fight Brian's mom. It's like, your son is the Messiah. And she's like, fucking Messiah. What the hell are you talking about? And then this is when we get the whole thing between the mom and the whole group. And
you could talk to him for 1 minute. That's it.
That wasn't 1 minute.
Yeah, he's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
He's a very naughty boy.
I just love how our boobs are never the same. Like, they start out fine.
You have the one that's just always hanging down on the one side. My wife's like, is that a boob?
Yes.
Yeah. Could be rocks for the next stoning. How do we know? I don't know.
Or a gourd.
A gourd?
Or a
gourd,
yeah.
But I do love the fact that when she says, you can talk to him for 1 minute, and they're like, okay, I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
We understand.
Yeah, and then Brian comes out again. He's just like, you guys need to think for yourselves. You don't need me to tell you anything. Just go live your life. And you find out being the Messiah, it's very overwhelming. But Judith's not helping because she's pretty much like, you're the Messiah. You're like drilling it into his head. And then this is when she goes back to the meeting house where John Cleese and the rest of the group are. And they're coming up with a plan. And Brian gets captured, I think, right?
Right. He gets captured right at the end of this.
And he goes out back while they're like trying to scheme up a plan.
Yeah. And biggest Dickus is also here during the whole thing, who is played by the same actor who plays Brian.
Yeah.
And he also has a speech impediment. Yeah. He has a lisp.
Yeah, because that's so Judith goes back to the meeting house and they're coming up with a really stupid plan. And she's just confused. She's like, Brian's been captured. And they're like, you know what we need to do? We need to talk about it more. She's like,
we need to vote
they have that. They have the whole conversation about like, we need to be actually go out and acting. We sit here and talk too much and plan. Like, we actually need to go out and there and do something. And then as soon as she brings the news, she's like, all right, we need to discuss this.
Like, what? And and then of course this is when this is when you start to see the change in his name is Reg. This was John Cleese's character as part of that group because he calls. Loretta Stan, and he's like, oh no, Loretta, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there we go. See some change here. Then we go to where the crucifixions are being set up, and I was just like a fucking lie. He's like, crucifixion? Yes. Okay, good. Please, yep. Please go to that line over there.
He's so nice to everybody. He's like, oh, good. And like Eric Idle's character is like, yeah, I'm supposed to be free. He's like, oh, you can go ahead and go. He's like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm supposed to be crucified.
Romans can't take a joke. And it's the guy from the beginning.
Yeah,
he was
the dude that was calling him Big Nose.
Yeah, yeah.
The Big Nose. Yeah,
because it all comes together at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love when we got the two guys that are working with the dude who's in charge of organizing the crucifixions, and you can't. One of them is like kind of mute, like he doesn't say much. He's just like, and then you got the other guy who's just like, he stutters really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Oh, really bad. And this is when Pilate and Biggest Diggest come out to give their speech and everything. And this is when the crowd just starts, because they know that Pontius Pilate can't say words with R's in them. And then Biggest Diggest, what was it, C or D?
I can't remember.
It was one of those letters, yeah, but they're just yelling. They're like, all right, we're going to let you guys choose. Who we can let set free one person. You guys get to choose. And so they're just yelling our names. Roderick! we don't have a Roderick, sir. Roger!
The one woman says like a non-R name and they like get all pissed at her.
Oh, because they're saying what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then Biggest Diggest starts saying his words and they're all, you know, yelling whatever words he can't say very well. But then Judas shows up and says, Brian. And it's like, okay, Brian. And they're like, well, we don't have a Brian. Oh, well, we did, but we sent him to get crucified. And they're like, well, go get him. He's free. Brian will be set free.
And they go talk to those two, like, people that were handling the crucifixion. And he tries to tell him the whole story, and he's like, you know what, forget it, we'll find him. And then he just talks to the other guy. He's like, go ahead, start the beginning of your story again. Like,
they talk normal.
It's like all an act. Yes. Like, it's all a whole act, just so they don't have to do work or whatever.
I love, the one guy who's just sitting there, the one who doesn't really talk, and then he's just like, yeah, so, you're like, wait a second.
It's like, start your story over again?
So, the group... the people's whatever the fuck these people are, Reg in the group there, they show up to the crucifixion. You know, Brian's up on the crucifix. I love how when they're being nailed to the cross, no one is screaming in pain. Everybody just gets thrown up on the crucifix with the nails in them and just like set up.
Yeah,
I think they just tie them, don't they?
No, you can see the giant nails.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't pay much attention to that. So
I love when they're walking like to get crucified, the one like vendor is like, let me lighten the load for you there, brother. And the guy just dips and he's like, this isn't mine. Like, I'm not supposed to be crucified.
This isn't mine. I was just helping. So they're
not supposed to be here.
Yeah, so they all get put up on their crosses, and the group shows up, and instead of going there to help Brian, they just say goodbye to him. It's like, see you later. Even Judas shows up. She's like, I believe in you. You're the Messiah. Bye. Thanks for the good lay last night.
Yeah, pretty much.
Though she's the one that's like tried to get him free. Like, she's the one that like put his name out there to be free. And she's like, yep, I'm just going to let you there.
Well, then John Cleese's soldier character shows up and he's like, okay, I'm here. And the whole reason this all happens because Brian is flipping out, pretty much like, you guys fucking suck, you're all useless, what the hell, you're supposed to help me. And while he's flipping out, the soldier's like, all right, I'm here for Brian. And because Brian's not speaking up, you have the, I think, Eric Idle's character behind him. He's like, I'm Brian. And then everyone starts saying I'm Brian, which is a Spartacus reference.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I just love that while they're taking the guy down, though, he's like, I'm not Brian. I'm not Brian.
And they still take him anyway.
Yeah. And they're just like, okay, guys, see you later.
I'm not Jewish. I'm a Samaritan. I was told we'd be crucified in a Jewish only section.
No. And then you get like the Suicide Squad, like the other group.
Yes! the Judean People's Front Suicide
yeah.
Squad.
Yeah, they come over the hill and just
JPF.
They're just like, it's like, we're here.
Just stab, I love their them. Armor just has that, like, they just open like that little centerpiece where they can stab themselves.
And right before the last one dies, that'll show them. Show them what?
Oh man, I love how his mom just shows up too and she's just pissed. She's like, fuck you, Brian, disappointment, and just like mumbles shit.
I knew this was gonna happen.
Yeah. And that's when we get our final spot with Eric Idle singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. Always look on the bright side of life.
I'm the wrong way. Damn it. Damn it. There we go. I'll get it eventually.
Oh.
It's a great song.
I love like the soldiers, like the Suicide Squad that killed themselves, are still like tapping their feet while they're dead, like the song and stuff too.
I also like the crucified people. They're kind of doing like the show line kicks with their feet.
The one that's dancing back and forth, he just keeps taking one foot off and the other foot.
The one dude that's getting crucified in the back, but there's still that person holding their umbrella yeah. for him.
Yes, I completely forgot that couple was being crucified.
All of them are. Pretty much all the people from that beginning of that movie are all good. Even the dude that's like, I'm gonna punch you Romans in the nose, because he's the dude who says he's a Samaritan. He's not Jewish.
And during like the whole I'm Brian thing, he's like, my wife's name's Brian too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh my god. This movie was fucking hilarious.
That's great.
I guess Eric Idle, when he recorded the song the first time, he did it in his normal accent. And he didn't like it, so he changed it to the Cockney accent, which is not how he actually sounds. But he just liked how it sounded better.
Oh, Roman soldier starts losing his fucking like leather waist belt thing. It's just falling down as he's running away.
So all right. Well, that is, or was, Monty Python's The Life of Brian. Now it is time to go around the room and talk about our final thoughts on this movie. And we're going to start with our guest, Wyatt. Hit us with your thoughts.
Yeah, it was a very funny movie. It was a lot funnier than I remember it being, because it's been quite a long time since I've seen it. There are quite some memorable moments in it. I still don't think it's up there as, you know, on the level of Holy Grail as of right now. But this is one I think I could definitely see myself going back and rewatching at some point. Just to kind of even just catch jokes that I didn't catch the first time. Like, I'm sure there's tons of background jokes and just other jokes I missed throughout the whole thing. But this was a great time, and also just getting to see all the damn characters each member of Monty Python plays is just a treat in itself. I had a lot of fun with this movie though.
Angela.
Oh, me.
Yes.
I mean, you are Angela. You are Angela.
Oh, I was waiting for you to say.
I know where we messed up this episode.
What?
We should have had all of our names be Brian.
Oh, no. It's okay. When I edit this, none of these things pop up. So it's.
Oh, okay. That's
darn.
Okay, carry
on. No, I love this. For this being the first time seeing it, I want to go back and watch it again. Just because there are so many memorable moments, so many things that we are still quoting. We watched this earlier. So we've been quoting it ever since. I love the one guy when they're leading him into the jail cell, the guy that's the bald headed guy.
It's the man.
I called him Igor.
It's the guy that's mad.
Oh, is that the guy that spits on Brian?
Yeah.
I love how at the end they're talking, him and the guy that stutters are talking, and he keeps acting like he has that whatever way he talks, but then when the guard leaves, he talks normal.
Yeah.
The whole conversation, that's great.
He's like, finish your story.
Angel, where were you when we were talking about this like 5 minutes ago?
I do like seeing the prisoner again at, like, you see him whenever they're walking towards the crucifixion, they have the prisoner hanging upside down in the window.
He's
like, look at all you lucky sons of bitches, or whatever he said. He's like, I wish I was getting crucified.
Like, I love that whole overhanging joke. Like, it's all this great thing about getting crucified. What? Oh, were you? Did you have
more? I'm done.
Okay,
sorry, I'm watching the Suicide Squad again.
It's probably better than the movies. Anyway, I enjoy this first time, as we talked about, for me too. And I'm going to echo what Wyatt said. Excuse me. I do not think this is good as Holy Grail. Holy Grail, I very much love that movie and would watch it a trillion times over. But this is also, I think this is very good. I pointed out some moments I really liked. I can see why people were offended by this at the time, even though it's not, I mean, it's not really about Jesus. Like, he's there, like, in a, right. like, one or two right. scenes, and that's it. Like, it's just at that time period.
It's the story of Jesus, but through a different person's eyes. It's, like, through a different person, because, I mean, that's the whole point of this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he was the next, you know, stable over. Like, that's where he was at. Like, it was just, I think it's hilarious, but... No, it's good. It's fun. And like I said, just go into it like, I don't know if you are highly religious or whatever, just if you do decide to watch, just go into it lightheartedly, because it's what it is. So it's a comedy. So
yeah, it's not like mean-spirited or anything like that.
No.
Yeah, this movie is fucking hilarious. I was laughing my ass off the whole time. It hit me way harder than I was expecting it to, especially because I have seen Holy Grail, and that movie is hilarious and so quotable. And I'm like, there's no way this movie can even be close to that. And even though it is not, I will agree, it's not as good as Holy Grail, it's damn close. Like, this movie is hilarious. Just the comedy beats and the way that they're able to, you know, hold a joke for so long and still have it be funny the entire time, where other movies have tried that and it just didn't work. And these guys are just so good together. Like, the Monty Python guys are just so, they work so perfectly together.
Yes.
And the fact that they're playing multiple roles and doing them so perfectly and making them so different from each other, it's fantastic. And it this movie came out in 1979. It really does not feel like it came out. If this feels like a late 80s. No. Movie, like, it's wild to think this movie is 45 years old.
Yeah,
but in my opinion, it holds up. It really does, even with the subject matter and, you know, the way people feel about it, you know, especially in the religious groups. First, you know, for me, I think it holds up well. The comedy holds up. I think it's definitely a movie that I need to own. It's definitely one I'm going to be looking for to add to my collection, because I will rewatch this every Easter. This is my Easter movie, okay? This is my Easter movie now.
Oh my God. I just realized that one of the people being crucified is a woman wearing a beard.
Oh, yes.
She was a woman. She was all crucified up there, like, and then just wearing a beard.
So good. So good.
Fucking hell.
All right. Now we're going to go over to social media and hear what you all had to say about Monty Python's Life of Brian. We got a few over on Twitter/X, or whatever the hell you want to call it now. Our first one is from our good friend Darren Lundberg, or at DW Lundberg, the host of Nostalgia Cast and Back to Bluey. Probably my second favorite Monty Python. For me, it's never as laugh out loud funny or absurdist as Holy Grail, but Brian hits its satirical, I think that's what it. Nope, satirical points fairly well. Cheesemakers always makes me laugh. The funniest bit is Palin trying to make his co-stars laugh during Biggest Dick.
It's great. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. And then we have at SuperNerd 525751, who just said, love this movie. And then we got one over on Instagram from our good friends at Dewey Pod Monster, who said, best of the Python flicks for sure, but Brian really should have haggled more.
Yes.
And I said, but the Romans. And they said, what have the Romans ever done for us? And I said, everything. Oh, that was it for comments, but we appreciate everybody who left us a comment. Make sure to follow us on all the major social media apps. As the day before we record, I usually will be dropping whatever movie we'll be covering. And you guys, please leave your comments on, you know, if you've seen the movie, please, we'd like to hear what you thought of it so we can read it on the show. because it's really fun to do that. All right. Well, damn, that show flew by, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's crazy. This might be one of the shortest episodes we've done in a while.
Yes.
You're like, is there something wrong?
Maybe.
Oh, we don't have Darren on the show. That's right.
Ah.
We love you, Darren.
I was expecting his comment to be longer.
I know, like a blog.
A full review.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has posted that before. Like, here's a comment. Like,
here's my blog post. And I read the whole thing.
Yes, you did.
All right. Well, next week, we are... Everybody probably from last week is like, why? Where's the Guyver? Well, we had to move things around. That's why we're doing Life of Brian right now. That's why you're hearing this episode right now. But next week, we're going to be having some more guests to talk about one of my favorite movies of all time, but it wasn't even my pick, because next week we start the month of 1991, as that was the year that yours truly was brought to this earth. We'll be talking about 1991's The Silence of the Lambs. Ooh. So we're going from this movie to that movie. Wow, what a transition. But we have, hopefully we'll be having most of the crew from the Quad Pro Quo podcast joining us to talk about that. Sweet. I just reread the book. I am probably going to watch the movie. I just got the Criterion Collection movie, so I'm going to be watching all them special features. I'm coming into this.
Still need to get around to that. No, I have it on Criterion. I just haven't seen any of the special features yet.
I'm so excited to talk about this movie. It's going to be a good one. But yeah, Wyatt, where can people find you and your wonderful show, Cinema Trip Reviews?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Cinema Trip Reviews, and also on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to drop in, like, share, subscribe, and give us a good review.
Yes, do all those things. Make sure all the links will be down in the description of the video or in the show notes. So make sure to follow Wyatt and his great show. You can listen to me talk about The Matrix trilogy.
Yes, finally done with The Matrix trilogy. You can talk about something else the next time you're on. Hopefully get the whole gang on the show.
More.
Don't buy
eventually
us for that.
Maybe down the road we'll see about that one.
Or check out Wyatt's other guest spots here on the show. We talked about Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which was directed by Terry Gilliam, who was part of the movie we just talked about. And what was the other movie we did?
Well, we did the Last of Us too.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah. You were on episodes of The Last of Us with us. But what was the other movie that you were on for?
I am blanking.
This is bad. This is just my
memory. I'm blanking on it too. I don't remember.
Wyatt was on another episode of this show. He was there somewhere.
Point.
It was. Oh no, we talked about Evil Dead, 2013. Evil Dead.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right. You know, I just remember the Fear and Loathing.
That was a great. I mean, they're all great episodes, but that was a great movie, Evil Dead, 2013.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
a lot of stuff you can Good check movie. Out with Wyatt and Cinema Trip Reviews. Great show. Got out a lot of great stuff over there. So make sure to
appreciate all
those follows and subscribes. All right. Mm-hmm. You can find us, as I stated before, on all the major social media apps. And we're also on Patreon, patreon.com/dissectthatfilm. For just a single dollar, you can support us and be part of Patreon polls. You get early access to episodes. You get some bloopers from episodes. There'll probably be some in this one. And some other things that I like to post there. Or you can subscribe at our $5 tier, the Mark Wahlberg Book Club tier, which is where we have a Patreon-exclusive show called The Monster Zone, where each month we spin a wheel and we talk about a monster movie. And that show is hosted by Dan and Angela. It's a great time. And we have other things planned for that, too. We have we have a commentary track planned. We have watch-alongs planned, so...
That's awesome.
True facts.
If you'd like to support us financially, make sure to go to patreon.com/dissectthatfilm. We would appreciate that very much, but you don't have to do that. But what we do ask for you to do is to go to your podcast app of choice and leave us a 5-star rating, because that kind of helps us. At least I think it does. I'm going to say it does. So do it.
Yes. That's what everybody tells us.
We're told that it does.
Yeah. As podcasters, they help. So that's why I say it. Or you can go over to youtube.com/dissectthatfilm and like, comment, and subscribe on the video. Even if you don't watch it, just go do that. It helps us out. And try to get us to that 1,000 subscribers. That would be cool. Before the end of the year. That'd be fantastic. Dan, I think you've been trying to say something, but I keep interrupting you, and it's on purpose. So no, go ahead.
You're fine. That's fine. Perfect. Awesome. We're working on adding a haggle button to the Patreon.
Yes!
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Oh man, that would be so good. I'm gonna email Patreon and be like, can you put a haggle button? Somebody subs and they're just,
I know,
like,
this tier is $10, but I'll give you seven or six.
Seven. $6.50. It's at least worth $8.50.
These podcasts are worth this much money. This is how much time we put into it.
Oh, are we forgetting anything? We got anything left to talk about? We talked about what we're doing next week, all that fun stuff. Yeah, we got guests for the next like 4 or 5 episodes. Never. I'm very excited, and we're gonna have a lot more guests going down the road. Awesome. Wyatt's definitely gonna be back, no doubt.
Oh yeah,
so
you know, and I gotta get everybody onto my show here. I haven't had the whole gang come onto the channel, so I need to get all three of you right. on and just
I
talk
guess
about whatever.
I'll allow them to go on.
Gotta get clearance.
Yeah. All right, everybody. I think that's it for us. I'm not used to
having me on.
I'm not used to having episodes this short. Yes, Wyatt. Thank you again for being here.
Yes.
Always have a great time with you guys.
Yeah, it's always fun having you on. All right, everybody. Until next time, I am Brett Parker. That is Dan and Angela of DNA Gaming. And that is Wyatt of the Cinnamon Trip Reviews podcast. This is another episode of fuck me. I just fucked that whole thing up. All right, let's try that again.
Wow.
Until next time, everybody, I am Brett Parker. That is Dan Angelo of DNA Gaming. And that is Wyatt of Cinema Trip Reviews. We are Dissect That Film, and this has been another episode of Dissect That Film Podcast. See y'all again next time. I hate doing outros. Goodbye.
Bye.
Biggest dickus.
Biggest dickus.